This shiur has been brought to you from the Sharim Audio Library. For information about Sharim or to order additional CDs, please visit our website, www.sharim.com, or email sharim@sharim.com. Thank you for making Sharim part of your continual learning experience.
Okay, so the Ramchal is going to categorize everything into two levels. The first thing is Mitzvot shel Adam ba'ulam hazeh yibachnu shnei inyanim. Tchunat atzmo shel Adam v'chalakav v'arkavatam v'amakom asher musam bo. So the first thing that the Ramchal is talking about is separating the person into two. The first thing is the spiritual DNA of the human being. When I say spiritual DNA of the human being, I mean to say that in essence it's really him as an individual and his makeup. That has to be explained. And the second thing that has to be explained is not just him as an individual, but also hamakom asher musam bo, the place that the human is placed into. So it's not just enough to understand the spiritual DNA of the human, but we have to study the place where he's in. Okay, the previous chapters were also talking about the world to come and this world. However, the difference between them is the previous chapters were talking about the time frame, as opposed to this chapter, which is going to be talking about the person himself. Really getting down and opening up, you know, the essence of the spiritual part of the human being. Okay? Now, v'bchinat ha'adam atzmo. The first thing to understand is the man himself. כבר זכרנו איך הוא מורכב אחד שנדחו בו שני הפכים. One person that is, what is the, how do you translate נדחו? Very important. This is a very key word. נדחו is? Operate. Okay, here it means forged. Forged as one. Like matechet, which is metal, which is two things that are made into one. Here, first thing we have to understand is the Ramchal is pointing out that v'hainu neshama v'aguf, the soul and the body are not just in the same room together, but they are forged as one. That means they have become, you know, one entity. There's numerous things in that Judaism points out that are separate but become one. Right? The first here is the body and soul. That means, you know, every step you take with the body is a step with the soul as well. The second one is obviously man and wife. Right, there are two opposites that, in essence, become one. They become man. What is man? Man is a man and a woman. Okay, and the Zohar speaks specifically about that unison, about how they are, you know, the highest level of oneness. There's other things that become one. For example, it says Yisrael Torah v'kudsha b'richu chadhu. The Jewish people, the Torah, and God are all one. So we have this theme of things that might seem as separate, but in essence, they're nitchu boshnei fachim. They are, what it means, nitchu boshnei fachim means they're forged as one, to the extent where at a certain point you can't tell the difference between them. So yes, you might be able to see, you might be able to see the body of man, but in there, everywhere is the soul. Okay, and so too, it's going to come a clear time where the God, the Jewish people, and the Torah are going to be one. So it's very hard to understand that, you know, it could be, you know, the end result. But in essence, that's really what it means. Okay?
Ve'ulam, hine anachnu ro'im be'einenu shachomriyut rishoni bo. What we see with our own eyes is that the materialism is rishoni. What is rishon? First, that is the first thing that appears. V'toldatov chazakot bo me'od, and its offsprings, meaning the materialistic part of the human being, is very strong. Kineh miyad achar ledato, as soon as he's born, kimat kulo chomri, he's almost entirely materialistic. V'en asechel po'el bo ela me'at, and the mind is only very weak. It's very weak when the person first starts out. V'kifi itgadlu, higadlo yilech asechel haloch v'chazak. So you start off as a tremendously materialistic being, and then only a little bit slowly but surely do you have your intellect kicking in. Now what's important to understand is the follows. What's the significance of this? The significance of this is the following, that we have to understand that the human body, or the materialistic side of us, has had a 12 year or 13 year head start in the race of life.
it's only at age 12, 13 does the spiritual side of us, the good inclination, kick in. And that's if it kicks in at that point. Some people will, you know, arrive at the age, but they won't really get mature until who knows when. You know? So that means that we have to understand that God put us in a situation where we are the underdog. When I say we, I mean the soul. The soul is the underdog. Your body has been for 12, 13 years just used to just feeding itself, not thinking about anything else other than me. There's no such thing as a baby waking up in the middle of the night and saying, you know, my mother's really tired, my father's really exhausted, I'm just going to sleep with the wet diaper. I'm just like, you know, I understand this one, really, or I'll change myself. There's no such thing. The baby's going to cry. It doesn't care where you are, what predicament, on a plane, with diapers, out diapers, on a bus, middle of the night, nothing. I'm screaming my head off until you get this wet sensation out of me, out of here. Right? And that is the way we start our life. For years, all we're thinking about is ourselves. And why did the Almighty make it that way? Because our purpose in this world is for the soul to be the underdog. Because the Ramchal points out, not only is your body, you know, it is your materialistic side of you start when it's young, right? And the spiritual part of you kicks in slowly but surely, so to speak. But more than that, we'll see it gets even more intense. ועל כל פנים לא יסור החומריות ממשול בו ומהטות אותו אל ענייניו, אלא שהיא מגדל בחוכמה, ויולמד בה ויתחזק בדרכיה, הנה יתאמץ לכבוש את טבעו. Right? You have to grow up, and after you grow up a little bit, you really have to struggle to conquer the materialistic side of you. ולא ישלח רסן תאוותו מידו, and you can't let go of, you know, the reins of the materialism. ויתעצם ללכת בהליכות השכל. That's how you conquer yourself, if you follow your intellect. So this is, you know, a major part of service to the Almighty, is making our intellect overpower our body. Just, you know, always thinking like, who is in control? Who is running the show? It's such a big part of, you know, society, and so anti what society is geared towards. You know, just think of the advertising movement. Advertising doesn't work anything on the brain. It works all on the materialistic side of you. You know, it'll show you a handsome guy holding up a house and tell you to buy a mortgage. So now if the guy came with the house, then I can understand the connection. If the guy doesn't come with the house, the bills come with the house. So what's the connection? It's an undercurrent. You know, you buy a house, you get to be successful like a guy like that, you know, whatever it is. So the whole society is geared towards the goof, the body. And our intellect is really, you know, plays less of a role. ואולם תוכיות העניינים האלה שאנו רואים, the essence of what we see, הנה הוא שבמציאות החומר ועצמותו נמצא העקירות והחושך בטבע. Right? The light and the darkness have been fused together as a natural function. והוא מציאות רחוק מאוד והבחי למה שהוא עניין באמת לקרבת, לקרבים אל הקי יתברך שמו. This being that we call man, the way we know it now, is very far from the true goal that we will eventually reach. Meaning the way we are now is very, very, very far from where we will be in the world to come. Because in the world to come, our materialistic side of us is going to be perfected as well. Once that is so, we're much more spiritual beings. And the way we are now is just that the materialistic aspect of us is overpowering us, as opposed to the world to come, where the spiritual part of us is going to be in control. It's not the distance he's talking about here is not the distance from when we're first born. The distance from where we will be when the world to come arrives and who we are now is very far apart. Now, who's in control? The materialistic side of us. When the world to come arrives, the spiritual side of us will be in control. It's a totally different being. In fact, in the previous chapter, the Ramchal has said this, that being that will be is not human. Ramchal had spoken out that the being that will be in the time of the world to come is not human, because it's so far from what we see now. It's a totally different essence. You know, it's almost like seeing a shadow and a person. If you see it, if a person had never seen a human being in their life and all they see is a shadow, you try to describe to them that they see a shadow and they say, look, behind that is
our nose and eyes, and you know, just no connection, right? Can you compare a person who just sees a shadow and sees a person? It's two different beings. Same thing is with our body and in the world to come. It's two different essences. Okay. Now, what's important to note out here is that this darkness that we, you know, keep talking about, what is the, you know, what's the root of it? The root of materialism is taking. That's the root of the materialism. Why is that so? Because the root of spirituality is giving, is the Almighty, right? The Almighty is the source of life and the source of giving. So the root of spirituality, of eternity, is giving. And the root of materialism is taking. So when you want to figure out, is something, you know, plugged into eternity and spirituality, or is it plugged into materialism? Is it giving or is it taking? And that's the same thing with Torah and Mitzvot as well. Meaning all the commandments, what are the commandments? The commandments are forms of me giving from myself. What might be, you know, adhering to certain modesty laws. It might be certain eating restrictions. The point is giving from the materialistic side of me that pulls towards just, you know, doing whatever he wants, and giving and subjugating myself to the Almighty. So it's important to realize that the whole essence of materialism really boils down to taking or giving. And if you think about society, we see how foreign, how different society is. You know, it's all about, in the business world, about yourself and taking and not giving. And a person who gives without expecting is considered like he's, you know, I don't even know how to word it exactly. It's just, you know, type of like loser type. You're letting people take advantage of you, right? Like, what do you mean? Like, what are you getting in return? And so much so that when you receive something from someone, the natural thought process is, well, what do they want from me? Why are they doing this? Must be that there's something on their mind. You know, society has lost that pure giving essence. Okay? And it's connected, like we spoke about once. We spoke about Hillel. When the convert came to Hillel and he said, teach me the entire Torah on one foot, what did Hillel say? What does that mean? But if you want to know the whole essence of the Torah, it all boils down to the concept of giving. Right? When you give from yourself to everything else, that within itself is the whole, you know, attribute of what the Torah boils down to. Even though the soul is tremendously spiritual or tremendously high, when it enters into the body, this is a word I want to dwell on a little bit. When the soul mistabech baguf, what does mistabech mean? Mistabech means complicated or entangled, like a fishing net that sort of becomes like, you know, intertwined, where you can't free the knots. That is the procession. That's the way that the neshama, that the soul, is in the body. Meaning it's not just, you know, this one has this corner and that one has that corner and they sort of travel together. Here, the aspect is where they're both intertwined with each other. Right? It's within the soul itself, meaning the soul and the body are intertwined, and it's also intertwined within the actions. Meaning, since the soul and body are intertwined, so that also is a natural understanding of the fact that not only are they intertwined, but the actions themselves are intertwined. Meaning, when you want to think about good and bad actions, there's no just good or just bad. Generally, it's a person has to sort of sift through and say, you know, is my actions pure? Or is it involved with some selfish motive? A guy might donate something, but he wants his name on the wall. So he's doing something good, but it's intertwined with his own selfishness. You know, that is really what has formed our biggest enemies. Meaning, we spoke about it in the previous class. But if you think about it, that the intertwinedness of the good and the bad is what creates the biggest form of evil that our generations have seen, right? Like we had spoken about Amalek in the previous class, that Amalek is a is a form of taking, you know, spirituality and what's good and mixing it into what it is that you feel is evil. What was Hitler claiming? Hitler was claiming that he's doing a favor to the world. He's, you know, ridding the world of the Jewish people who are, in a sense, the sickness of the world. So he didn't say that what he was doing was wrong. He was using the name of this is what's right. Okay, and that's nistabchabo. That's why it says when evil people die, it's similar to taking cotton and running it through a comb. You take a big glob of cotton and you just pull it through a comb. What's left of it? It's all torn and stuck on the comb. Why? Because their body and soul are so intertwined, they're so materialistic, that it's when it's time for the soul to leave, it's caught in with it's meshed in with the body. As opposed to a righteous person, our sages say it's like taking a hair out of a bowl of milk, just like glides out. Why? Because it's not intertwined with the body as much. It needs something, but you can't compare. Okay, that's what it says. Histabchabo. It's meshed in together. Okay. Nimtzet grusha utchuya minyana hativi elinyan ufchilo. It comes out that this body and soul, and the soul itself, is, you know, placed into the opposite surroundings. Ugvusha bo bekoach machriach. It's kept in. The soul is kept in the body forcibly. You know, it's like you stuck the soul into this capsule and just close it on top. It can only overpower the body if it works very, very hard. Since the Almighty decreed that this concoction of good of the soul and the body will never separate, this that a person might experience death and this the body and soul separated only for a limited amount of time. Afterwards it comes to the body, meaning the body and soul will be eternally together. They will exist for eternity. The soul has to strengthen itself. The job of the soul, since it's going to be forever with the body, is to overpower the materialistic part. And that's the battle that we're always in. And the battle becomes ever more difficult. Why? Why is the battle more difficult? Because not only is it intertwined, but like we said, the actions themselves, we have to decide, is it pure or is it not pure? Is this prayer l'shem shamayim, or am I doing it because people are watching me? Am I doing this because society is doing it, or am I doing it because God commanded? So it's like an entanglement. It's a constant struggle. Okay? Ve'ulam. Ha'adam ba'ulam hazeh hu b'matzav echad sha'achomer chazak bo. A person in this world is in a situation where the materialistic part of the world is very strong within him. U'kmo shezachanu, as we have mentioned. U'biyot ha'chomer akur v'chashoch. Since the materialism is so dark, nimtza adam bechoshech gadol, the human being is also within a tremendous sense of darkness. Ve'rachok me'od mima she'ra'u lo she'yan, he's very far from what he eventually will be. Liot midabek bo yitbarach shemo. Ve'umnam bezeh tzrich she'asim mishtadoto. What does the person have to do? Lechazek et nishmato neged koach chomro. A person has to overpower his body with his soul. U'la'ativ et matzavo, and to improve his situation. Until the level he's worthy of. My question I want to ask you is, how do you improve your situation? How do you improve your situation? You're supposed to let your spiritual side of you overpower your body. How do you do that? One of the reasons men have to learn Gemara is for this reason. Because Gemara is the breaking of the materialistic side of you. Because you're constantly stating something, making it stand and be, secure, and you overturn it. That's Gemara. Gemara is always like, everything you know now is wrong. Now let's work on another thing. Every other line is another sort of discovery. So that's the whole aspect of Gemara. That's why men are commanded, for example, to learn Gemara. Why? Because they need this breaking of their materialism. That's why men have to pray three times a day. Because they need to subjugate themselves. They have to put on tefillin. Why aren't women bound by time? because they don't need so much of the medicine to put down their materialism. Women are more naturally spiritual than men are. How do we know? Because they're not commanded like men are. Right? It happens to be that men have received more flame and glory throughout Jewish history, quite clearly, even in the Tanakh. Right? But again, fame and glory is not a deciding factor in Judaism, because we're a nation that's built on 36 hidden tzaddikim. So that means that just because you're revealed or not doesn't necessarily mean you're the one. Okay, but that explains this concept explains many things, like why women are not commanded to pray three times a day. How come? It's not fair. Why shouldn't you pray three times a day? Or how come you're not commanded to learn Gemara like men are? The reason is you don't need that breaking process. You're more naturally spiritual than men are. Okay, so it's all tied into this, you know, to this theme. All right. So the first thing we spoke about was the man himself, the spiritual DNA. Now what we're going to talk about is hamakom. Hamakom asher b'hu b'tocho. Now the place that you're in, gam hu chomri v'chashuch. It is also dark and black. V'chol nimtzaim shebo chomrim. Everything else in there is also materialistic. Va'esek shel adam bo bimlo'o iv shar shiyeh. And everything you toil in is materialistic. Why is everything you toil in materialistic? Why is our place a materialistic place, first of all?
We have something.
Show me how this world is a materialistic place.
We're bodies.
The world itself also, God is hidden everywhere, in a sense. Really, he's everywhere, but the existence of materialism is a materialistic world. Right, the fact that we're in physical confines is materialism. So we're steeped, we're like dipped in materialism. That's the first thing. So the first thing that Rav Chaim says is, first of all, the place we are in is materialistic. Now, more than that, as if that wasn't enough, but everything that we have to do is materialistic. For example, give me an example. Chocolate cake. Come on, guys, that's like your example that you always give. You got to eat chocolate cake. And you have to get dressed and sleep and shower and walk and exercise. All these. So now it would have been one thing if we were spiritual beings placed in a materialistic world. But we're in a materialistic world and we're materialistic beings. Meaning, our being necessitates that we have to toil in this world materialistically. Kiif shalom ibli achila, you can't live without eating. Ushtiya and drinking, ush alcohol and yinam tivim and everything else. Viv shalom ibli hon v'kinyan, you have to have money. Veshuchala sig tzachav ele, right? In order to attain this, you need money. It's unbelievable to think how the Almighty made spirituality dependent so much on materialism. If you want to run a most spiritual complex known as a yeshiva or seminary, you have to have money, right? As much, and it's so much so that you see how the Almighty just intertwined everything one with the other. Because our job is really to know how to follow the Torah and walk within the drops. So our test is double as much complicated.
Whether it be your body, ben mitzad olama, whether it be your world, ben mitzad isko, whether it be what you have to toil in.
You are dipped and immersed in materialism. Ve'amal gadol ve'ishtadlut chazaka yitzarech lo litalot el matzav zach mizeh.
And you have to work very hard to elevate yourself from this spiritual, from this world.
V'muchach betivo b'nyanim chamurim elen.
You need these things. Okay? So a person has to feel we all have to feel very comfortable with the fact that we feel like we're always being tested. Because we are always being tested.
Now, what would be? Let me ask you a question. What would, if you could think about what the highest level of serving God would be in this world? Just what would create the biggest kiddush Hashem to you? What would be the biggest sanctification of God's name? But within the realm that we're talking about, like in this world, doing what? If we manage to do what? If we manage to. Or if you know what, I'll tell you a better thing. If you have a philosophical debate with someone,
that if not only did you get them to become believers, but you turn them into people who preach and make others believe. That's also the biggest form of victory that we can have, right? Do you agree with me? So let's think about that in the sanctification of God's realm.
Omek means the depth of his wisdom. היה לסדר הדברים באופן שאף בהיות האדם שקוע בחומר בהכרח.
The wisdom of the Almighty is that even when you're steeped in materialism, כמו שכתבנו, as we have mentioned,
יוכל מתוך החומר,
from the materialism עצמו, והעסק הגופני השיג את השלמות, to reach perfection, והתעלות אל הזוך ואל המעלה. Within the materialism to reach perfection, ואדרבה, and even more so, השפלתו תהיה הגבהתו. Your seeping down into materialism is going to be your elevation. ומשם יקנה יקר וכבוד שאין כמו. And from there, you will attain spirituality. Now this is the point. ביות הופך את החושך לאור. When you change, when you turn over darkness to light. And when you take death and you make it into life. So the Ramchal is pointing out that the true Kiddush Hashem, the true sanctification of God's name, is not just when you stay away from the materialism, but when you take the materialism, you take the darkness and you make it part of your army and you make it into light. That is the highest level of Judaism. Meaning not just using materialism, that when a person first embarks on their religious path, they're using Judaism for the right reasons, which is correct, and that's the way it should be done. Meaning, you keep Shabbat because of the family aspect, you keep family purity because of the Shalom Bayit, you keep kosher because maybe you discover it's more healthy and things like that. You dress modestly because you want people to perceive you in a certain way. That is a level. But a higher level is using the materialism and serving God, turning everything into a spiritual being. That only Judaism preaches. Meaning, if you look at other religions, the highest person for them is one who abstains. Priest abstains from getting married. That's their Kohen Gadol. By us, he has to be married. Because we understand that materialism is here for a purpose, and the purpose of materialism is to sanctify God's name. And in truth, if we're already talking about this topic, we have to understand that was the sin of Adam HaRishon. That was a mistake he made. What did God tell him to do? Choose between A or B, meaning this you can eat, this you can't. What did he do? Why did he eat from the apple? What happened after you ate? What ramifications did it have on the world? The evil entered into the human, right? And now, what? The job is easier or harder?
Harder.
And now are you, quote unquote, able to sanctify God's name more or less?
More.
That's what he wanted. God told him, don't do what you want. Do what I want. That was his sin. But his equate, he wasn't a fool. God doesn't stutter. When God said, don't eat from the tree, Adam HaRishon understood. Don't eat from the tree. Okay, tree, meat, don't eat. Very good. It wasn't like a comic. And oh, I think I'm going to eat from it anyway. Yeah, the heck with this world. Give me a bite. Oh, his equation was the equation of, so to speak, spirituality. I'm going to sin, become harder to conquer. Then when I conquer, it'll be more sanctification of God's name. The only problem was, it was going against God's will. And that's the ultimate doing wrong. So it doesn't matter what you think. But this whole concept was Adam HaRishon's like equation.
וזה כי הבורא יתברך שמו שם גבולות וסדרים לאדם.
The Almighty put boundaries for the human being.
בתשמיש ישתמש בעולם ובריאותיו.
That the human should use this world.
ובכוונה שיתכוון בהם.
And not only should you use this world, but you also should have the proper, what does kavana mean? Intention, right? Proper meaning. Meaning, part of Judaism is not just to do the actions right or wrong. It's not a checklist. But your intent, your thought process is also important.
אשר בישתמש בהם האדם באותם הגבולות ובאותם הסדרים ובאותה הכוונה שציווה בורא יתברך שמו, יהיה אותו הפועל גופני והחומרי עצמו, פועל שלמות.
When you follow the confines of the Torah, when you follow the rules and regulations of the Almighty, you have now sanctified the materialism and elevated spirituality and materialism together. That's an unbelievable concept. And within you will have this tremendously high level, and you will go up from your low level. Now he's going to talk about the fact that the Almighty saw everything that we're missing and put everything into play for us to have, you know, perfection. So we've spoken about this numerous times. It says, it's a verse that says that wine, yain, misamech Elokim ve'adam. Wine makes God happy and man happy. So the Gemara says, how does wine make God happy? God doesn't drink. So the Gemara says, when you use wine for certain occasions. So we've spoken about this topic, that here we see a perfect example, that the highest level in Judaism is taking materialism, or wine, which is the most coarse substance you could think of, because it actually overpowers your whole being. Like, you know, eating a good piece of meat doesn't make you drunk, but drinking wine will make you drunk, and using that materialism for spirituality. So just, you know, I'm speaking to a form of women, just for you to appreciate, like, the chashivut, the importance of what your role is. Why do I say that? Because the man is placed on the front lines of spirituality. Meaning the man to see his spirituality is very easy. You're sitting in a yeshiva, you have a book, the rabbi with a long white beard, and he's telling you that you should come closer to God. The woman's front line is generally different. She's involved more with the house, more with running the whole household. She's much more in the front. Her front lines are different. But according to what we're learning now, that's not a representative of weakness. It's representative of strength, because the ultimate highest level is what? Taking materialism and making it spiritual. Who's more in that realm? The woman is. So if people knew and appreciated how much the Torah places the woman on a pedestal and how much God believes in her kochot, you know, it would totally, you know, crash or smash other ways of thinking. Meaning the man can't survive the way the woman is. The woman is placed in more of an ideal situation, because like we're saying here, the goal of everything that we're doing is to take the highest levels, taking materialism and making it spiritual. The woman is more capable of doing that. Man cannot. Man will lose himself if he does not pray three times a day. He will come to a level where he won't believe in God. If we don't strap ourselves with tefillin and tzitzit every single day, then we won't believe in God. Women can survive their whole life then without it. How come men have to wear kippot and women don't? Because you don't need that reminder every second, every day. You know that if you ever you go to a playground of like a Jewish school, you'll see kids playing. You'll see a boy when his kippah flies off and it goes out of, like, you know, a certain distance, he'll tell his friend to pick it up. Because the way a guy feels when his kippah falls off is like it's like you have a brick wall in front of you. You can't experience it, but there's nothing I could say that would. There's something that you have that, like, could place that into your, like, a woman who covers her hair and take off her covering, she won't walk to pick it up. She'll take her jacket and plate it over her head, right, or whatever it is, because it's like your whole being stops. That's what a kippah is for a guy. You don't feel that, but you tell a kid take off his kippah, or his kippah flies off, he'll say, I can't pick it up. What do you mean, can't pick it up? Now you bring it to me. What do you mean, yeah, you can't pick it up? What's wrong with you? No, I can't move. Why can't you move? Somebody press pause on the remote control? The answer is, for a guy, a kippah is like his whole, like, you're on a, you can't move. It's like a pause. So women don't need that, because they have the capabilities of taking things that are more materialistic and making them spiritual. Okay? Let's see the last paragraph. V'ilu lo hayta gzera gzura sheyamut. If it wouldn't be decreed that the man would die, that the human being would die, כמו שזכרנו, as we have mentioned, על ידי המעשים האלה הייתה נשמה מתחזקת, then the soul will become stronger, וחושך הגוף מתחלש, and then the physical part of the body would become so weak, because the body would just be here forever. The soul would be able to purify all parts of our materialism. Then we would become close and cling to God. Now, since the Almighty decreed, that's not how it works. That means that what happens is that we are, the soul makes itself stronger, and then God splits them and then puts them together. But if God just left us in, like, so to speak, for eternity, eventually our soul would be able to purify our body. We'd just keep working at it, right? But what happens is the soul becomes strong, and the body becomes purified in its spiritual makeup. It's there in the programming, and the program is only going to come out when Mashiach comes, when the world comes. Alright. And what happens is the Almighty separates them, and then afterwards when they come together, the whole program works together. So it's just interesting to note out that the Ramchal is saying that in essence, had we left it, you know, the body and soul together, eventually the soul would purify the body. But the Almighty separates them, and He puts the soul into the body so strong when the world to come arrives that it just happens like in an instant, as we've spoken about in the last class. It's just like a total energizing situation. Okay, stop here.